Let's get over to our guest for this half hour, Belita Ong, chairman or chair of Dalton Investments, to talk about the latest on the markets. And Belita, I actually want to start with the Tankan survey for the third quarter that we've just had out of Japan. That large manufacturing index coming in at 8, the survey was for 10. We've got a very weak yen, of course. Why is this not benefiting Chinese exporters and manufacturers?
First, thanks for having me back, Paul. The Tankan survey is reflecting the weakness that Prime Minister Kishida said he would address. And it is the reason that Kuroda, who's the BOJ governor, and the finance minister are working together to try and stimulate the Japanese economy. So I think that it's not, I know the estimates were off, but it's not surprising that the Japanese economy is still weak, given what's happened with the whole world economy.
Yeah, there was one segment of that index that did outperform, and that was the large non-manufacturing index. A read of 14 there. The survey was for 13. Why the bright spot?
So that's interesting. To us, we don't try and predict macro trends, and not even specifically sector trends. What we try and do is look at one company at a time, and when we look at individual companies, we actually see bright spots, because when you look at Japanese projection for the next year's earnings, you typically see very conservative estimates of revenues from abroad. So for instance, in Toyota's case, the last projection they had of dollar sales were at 114 dollar yen. And as we know, dollar yen is more like 145 right now. So we believe there is upside for a number of Japanese companies, based on their future sales, if they have significant sales that are denominated in dollars. So, you know, the way I look at it, the Tankan survey is a survey, and it may not be accurate. It may be that the future will turn out to be better than the survey suggests.
Yeah, when do you imagine that those numbers might start to turn around, that the survey might start to catch up with some of what you see is going on in Japan?
We're hopeful that next year, perhaps by the spring or so, we'll start to see some stronger numbers. Kishida's won a significant majority through the last round of elections and has a clear path to be able to implement his policies for 3 years. And he went to Guildhall and then to the New York Stock Exchange and essentially said to the world of investors, I am going to stimulate the Japanese economy. Hold me accountable. We're going to change. You know, the one thing that we all know about the Japanese economy, which has been problematic, which is labor practices, this lifetime employment that they've had. And he specifically said that we're moving to a merit-based employment system, and we'll encourage more women into the workforce. So, you know, these are things that I think we should try and take him at his word, because he can actually do something about it. And Japan tends to be a society that listens to people in charge. And so we're hopeful that something material will come out of his efforts.
Yeah, reform in Japan, of course, notoriously difficult to achieve. And also inflation, traditionally, been notoriously low. There's signs that's starting to turn around now, but no sign of a change in policy from the Bank of Japan. Do you imagine that that's going to remain the same until the end of Governor Kuroda's term?
Yes, I do. The way Kuroda-san puts it is that the inflation they're seeing in Japan is entirely due to the weak yen. In other words, it's imported inflation, and the domestic economy is still weak. So what would be the point of tightening when it's not the domestic demand that's the problem? And that makes sense. But on top of which, in Japan, you have Kishida-san essentially working his hardest to reopen nuclear power plants, which, you know, it's a significant step for Japan in terms of being able to contain inflation, because they do import energy. So I think that they are taking the right moves to try and resolve this, head off any sort of widespread inflation problems. So one thing I would look at is if the labor market starts tightening up more and you start seeing wage inflation, I think that the BOJ mm-hmm. itself would actually take notice of that.
Belita, China, of course, closed this week for the Golden Week holiday, but I understand you've shifted your weighting towards China. You are already underweight. What's making you more concerned?
So the Party Congress is always a very big propaganda event, and it is the period during which the government positions are reshuffled, and there is a recounting of the success of the party and the progress of the country. So we expect to see changes of policies only, you know, several months after all that settled out. But the issue is that in China, you have these significant headwinds that are facing it that haven't gone away just because you have an optimistic sounding party congress statement that will be published. And specifically, there are issues with the real estate market, which is a very big part of the economy, the issues with demography, because China is aging very quickly. There are increasing geopolitical tensions. And then the trade wars or the trade rifts between the East and the West are growing. And none of that's good for China, which has benefited maybe more than anybody else from these last few decades of globalization. So, you know, the reality is that the problems China faces are real and they're not going away and they have to be dealt with.
Yeah, you did mention the upcoming party congress, and once Xi Jinping is confirmed for that third term, I mean, there is an anticipation that there's going to be some sort of policy change. I'm just wondering what you're expecting in terms of stimulus and in terms of policy to get China out of this rut.
The one thing China needs to do to get out of this rut is to remove the zero COVID policy. And that will not happen until after this party congress. So there is hope. I've read a number of sources that believe that the zero COVID policy will be removed come spring next year, and that perhaps by the end of this year, they will do a widespread launch of the mRNA vaccine in China. So hopefully we can follow that timeline and things will improve sometime early next year.
With that in mind, I mean, can you view this as a buying opportunity? There's some quality names there that are pretty beaten up at the moment.
There really are. I agree with that. The issue we have with China is to do with the philosophy of how we invest. We invest based on looking for good companies that are strong balance sheet, good cash flows, run by entrepreneurs whose interests are aligned with shareholders like us. And in China, unfortunately, the trend is much more towards state-owned enterprises, not towards private sector entrepreneurs, which makes it hard for us to find management that we can trust will work in the best interests of minority shareholders like us. So that's a problem for us. And then secondly, the rules change on a dime in China. So for instance, if you were invested in the private education sector, overnight your business just, you know, dropped like a stone. And so it's very hard for us to operate in an environment like that.
Yeah, it's a challenging investing environment generally at the moment. I'm just wondering, with the strong dollar, do you have a more outsized than usual cash allocation so you can be nimble? And you're looking at havens at all. I mean, gold's cheap, quite cheap right now.
So we want to invest in companies that we believe will be around for 20, 30 years, that we see a clear path or at least a very likely path to compound value over time. And gold is not something we can make a bet on with those types of considerations. But what we are seeing is very cheap companies that have that path forward in Japan. And, you know, while Japan is slow right now, we finally have the reopening of the economy on October 11th to both foreign tourists and domestic tourists. So no more visas for 70 countries, I believe, and which was a big deal. And, you know, no more quarantines after you get into the country. And with domestic tourists, who make up a big part of the economy, they start getting discounts.
Yep, very much a relief in Japan that those restrictions are finally starting to ease. Belita Ong, Chair of Dalton Investments, thanks so much for joining us today on Bloomberg Daybreak Asia.